What an atmosphere of worship here today, man. I said, well, I love, let me just tell you this, I love being up here on the front row because I love it when all the young people and all the young adults come up to the front and worship. It's just like a wave of worship and praise coming through here. I kind of felt myself in the current today getting sucked in. I was kind of like, I came alive. It was pulling me. I love that. I guarantee you, this is what, every once in a while, you want to stay young, I dare you. I just dare you to come down and spend a few minutes in worship down here with this young atmosphere down here. They are tearing it up, man. I love it. Someone said, Pastor, does that distract you? No, not at all. I love it. I love what God is doing. I love seeing young people who are on fire to serve God with a passion and they're not afraid to show it. I pray that it grows and it continues to rub off on us because the Word of God says, if we don't become young as one of these child, that's how we enter the kingdom of heaven. When we lay aside our pride and we lay aside our preconceived ideas and say, God, teach me to be young again, to trust you as a child, full dependent upon you. Let's go ahead and let our Elevate kids head to classroom. Many of them are already heading out. Today, our Elevate students, first grade through fifth grade, are heading to their classroom. Of course, our nursery and preschool have already checked in and are already in their classes. And now our elementary are going to be just on the other side of this wall, getting a lesson designed, especially at their age level and their grade level today. So as they head to their room, we like to stretch our hands to both sides of the auditorium and bless all of our children. So let's do that. Father, we thank you for all of our children, which are a heritage given to us from the Lord according to Scripture. We speak over them. We cancel out plans the enemy has for their life. We speak life over them. We speak the things that the Holy Spirit would be full in their life. Father, we bless you together. And God, we bless them today. And we say, amen.
Let my words be true. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Let the words I say, be the sound of your sound, your grace. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you.
Amen. Today, man, we're kicking off a new series. Who's excited about kicking off a new series? Are you ready to grow? Amen. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Mom, and the rest of you, my family. Anybody else here today? How many else is ready to grow in the Lord? There you go. We're excited about a chance to grow in the Lord today. We just finished up a series called Change Your Sound, and that went on so long that I didn't get a chance to get to this part of the series. So we just spun off a whole new series, and we're calling it The Power of Words. What we got to realize is this, that there is power in our words. The Scripture is very clear about the power we have in our words. If you do not know this, this is very much a principle in Scripture that's very true to you and I, that there is power in the words that come out of our mouth. There are no idle words according to Scripture, but everything has the power. Today I want to talk to you as we get into this subject about this question. Do you value your words? Do you value your words? I know one time when I was growing up, my dad was collecting these big lead pipes, and they had the wires inside of them, and he would collect them in odd jobs he did and things that were happening on, and he would come and he'd pile them up behind our house with this fence, and they had all these cut up lead pipes. And then I was like, Dad, what are you doing? You're such a hoarder, you know? You're trashing up our house, making my yard look bad. Dad, come on. I got to, you know. Anyway, so I was like giving my dad a hard time because he collected all this, what I thought was junk. And then my dad would go out there and he would cut some of the lead off and he would melt it down. He was an avid fisherman, and he actually made his own sinkers and his own weights. And so he had these molds, and he would actually melt down the lead and pour them into the molds so he could have plenty of weights to go fishing with it, and because he lost a lot of them, he needed a lot of them, so he had to make his own. And I don't know if you ever smelt lead when it's being burnt down and melted down. It stinks to the high heaven. It stinks. It's a pure smell of stank, okay? So we're saying to the south, it stank. It didn't just stink. It stank. It stank bad. And so it was really bad. And I was like, Dad, man, you're stinking up the neighborhood. I'd be so embarrassed because you could smell it all over all the block. And people are like, what's that smell? I'm like, I don't know. What's that smell? Just don't go by my house. Let's go down the street this way. I'd be so embarrassed. I just couldn't see the value in what he was doing for what was going on. And then I remember one day when I was getting ready to go to college, my dad said, come on, son, grab the saw and join me out here. I'm like, what, Dad? He's like, come on, we're going to spend a few hours cutting this sled up. And so we went out there and we got the saw and we cut down the sled. And we, of course, if you know lead, it was very easy to pull open once you cut it. And we cut it open and there was this shiny copper stuff in the middle that I didn't know was there. And he said, make this pile over here and put the lead over here. And he cut up the lead and we worked a couple of hours and we had this big pile of copper that we had cut out of there. He says, now I want you to take that, put that in the back of your truck and go down here. I want you to weigh it and I want you to take the money they're going to give you and use it to help get yourself into college. Pay for your books and some of your tuition. Went down there and cashed it in. I had almost around $1,500, $1,800 that came in and just copper that day. And I was like, man, I didn't even know that was there sitting there. I'm like, Dad, anymore? Dad, can you hoard anymore? And I don't go back here. I need a little bit of change. I'll go back here and cut some of those up. And I pull up some copper and go weigh it in. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to eat good tonight, baby. All right. So, you know, I love what was back out there. And so I didn't realize the hidden power and the hidden value that was out there. And so I think this is the way it is with our words, that many of us don't realize the potential of our words. We don't realize the value of the words that are coming out of our mouth every day. And when your eyes are open to it, all of a sudden you can see it as something of power, something of change that can happen. Has anyone ever said to you, I need to speak to you. It's a matter of life and death. Anyone ever said to you, I get this sometimes, I got to speak to you. It's a matter of life and death. Well, today, let me say this to you. Our words really are a matter of life or death. Look what our scripture says here. Let's look at our text in Proverbs 18. Let's read verses 20 and 21. Verse 20 says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. What this basically translates to saying is this, is that the words that come out of your mouth really affects the climate you live in. The quality of your life can be traced and found back to the words that are coming out of your mouth. It affects us. And verse 21 backs up this principle. The tongue has the power of life and what? Death. Let's say it. The tongue has the power, say it with me, of life and death. Our tongue has the power of life or death. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. We must realize the impact and the power of the words that come out of our mouth. We've got to remember in the book of Genesis that everything God created, He created by waving his hands, right? He said, da-da-da-da, and there it was, right? No. Well, how did he create the heavens and the earth? He spoke it into existence. He said, let there was light, and boom, there was light. He said, let the seas come together, the waters come together, the land form. He spoke things into existence. And so he says, you and I are created in God's image. So would it be no surprise to us that our words have more power than we realize? That if we're created in God's image, and God's image, what he creates with the words that come out of his mouth, that you and I need to realize what kind of power is in our heart coming out of our mouth. That God has created us as human beings who have the power of life or death according to what comes out of our mouth. Now, the problem is this, though, as we see in many things of Scripture, that sometimes things get exaggerated. And you remember me teaching on giving and how we spend our money, that in Scripture, because of some people who take Scripture and they take it and they exaggerate it, and then you say, well, you know what, I don't want to talk about giving because so many people have taken the scripture on giving and they exaggerate it so much and just turn people off to it. And so I don't want to teach on giving. Well, that's okay for you to say that, but the principle is this, that you'll miss out on the blessing of giving if you're not taught on it. And the principles are still true. The basic principles of giving are still true in Scripture if we apply them according to God's word in our life. And so I can't allow what someone has taken and scooted around and twisted around to keep me from walking in a very much godly principle in my life. I think it happens as this, is that we have good teachers who begin to teach on something. God gives them a revelation on something. And the more they apply it to their life, it comes to alive in their life. And so they start teaching about it, writing about it, blogging about it. The next thing you know, they're doing seminars on it. And then people get to attack what they're teaching, and they get all defensive about it, and they start talking about it more and more, and they all of a sudden they kind of just, they don't mean to, but I think they over time begin to stress the truth a little bit. Now, don't look at me like you've never done that before. Because some of you here, I've seen you go fishing. And you'll tell me about how big that fish really is, but I've seen the pictures. It's not quite as big as what you exaggerated it to be. Or if you ever sold a car and you're trying to sell that car, you know, it's, you're trying to sell it and you're not telling anything that's not really true about the car, but maybe you're stretching it out a little bit, taking the facts and making them sound just as good as you can, maybe twisting them around, even though it's the truth, twisting it around into your favor. Don't look at me like I'm the only one who's ever done that before. It's something we can naturally do. I think some of this happens. This is my personal opinion. I think some of this can happen in teaching in the Word of God. That sometimes some people take what they teach is 95% truth, but sometimes there's a 5% of exaggeration that gets twisted in there. And because of that, if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves not to grab a hold of a godly principle that's very much power and life to our life and say, well, that's been abused, and so I don't even want to think about that. I think this really falls in the line today because we have people who have taken the Word of God about this subject, and they've taken this thing, and you had this whole movement of name it and claim it, you know? Oh, bless God, if I need a new red Corvette, I just speak it out, and bam, there it is. And you leave church fired up, and God, I'm leaving for my new red Corvette. Little red Corvette, hallelujah! You walk out, and you're feeling it. And it doesn't happen, and you're like, well, that really didn't work for me, you know? We've all seen it abused, and this is the problem. Is God really wants you to have a red Corvette? I don't know that. I don't think He's against you having a red Corvette. I'm not saying He's for you having a red Corvette. I don't think He really cares if you have a red Corvette. But I think if you don't have a car, or your car you have is on its brink, and you're paying your tithe and your offerings, and you say, God, my family needs a better car. God, you need to. We hope that you work it out. I can have a better car. I think God will very much will hear that prayer and realize that's in agreement with what He wants for your life. He doesn't want you to have to walk to work. He wants you to have a good transportation. So I can, that's a different prayer than saying, God, I need a new red Corvette. Are you seeing the difference? Write this down. That's what I want you to get today. If you get nothing else today, I want you to get this. This is the truth of the matter. We're basing this whole series on this principle right here. We need to stop trying to get God in agreement with our words, and we need to start getting our words in agreement with God. Oh, that's good. Let's say it one more time. We need to stop trying to get God in agreement with our words, and let's start getting our words in agreement with God. There lies the power of your words. You want to operate in God's power? I don't say, God, you get onto my plan. No, it's God, I get onto your plan. God, you get into my vision. No, God, I get into your vision. God, you don't agree with my words. I agree with what your word has already said about me, and it's right here. Notice the difference. This is where the power of words come alive. This is where we come alive on the God's great dance floor, is when my words come into agreement with God's words. Stop trying to manipulate God to come in agreement with you. That is false teaching. That's not principle we found in Scripture. But we take it and realize this, that Satan, oftentimes, as I told you last week, he knows the Bible better than you and I. He will take a phrase out of the Bible or one scripture, and he'll try to get you to run with that in a false direction and keep you preoccupied in a wrong theology. The Bible will always confirm itself, okay? And so if you find a principle in Scripture, look through Scripture. And can you find that principle continually backed up in Scripture? And we see this power of words is something all through Scripture. We see this principle that we have power of life and death in our tongue. But don't take it and take it the wrong way. Allow someone else who's taking it the wrong way to stop you from operating in that principle. So how about we do this? How about in the start of this series, say, God, how about I just lay aside any preconceived ideas that I have about this subject? And how about we just open up the Word of the Lord? Let's see what Scripture says and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal something to me, the truth. How many think that's a good plan? Let's do that. So let's say, God, I want to open up my life to hearing your word, what the word of the Lord says about the power of my words, and I want to have a fresh take, a fresh revelation balanced off of the word of God. If you don't know that about Destiny Church, we want to be balanced, okay? So we were looking at that. So my words are either agreeing with life or my words are agreeing with death. So this is the question you got to ask yourself, this question personally. Do you release life with your words, or do you release death? Because you're doing one or the other. You're either releasing life or you're releasing death with the power of your words. Let me quickly give you 2 points today about the value of our words. The value of our words, as we set this series up, first of all, I want you to realize this, that our words connect us to God. Our words connect us to God. Our words have the power to connect God from the spirit realm into the spiritual, to our natural realm. Let me say again. Our words have the power to connect God from the spiritual realm into our natural realm. You might say, isn't that Jesus' job? And I say, you are very much correct. He sent his son Jesus to be a bridge from our sin to the Father, that we can cross over through our relationship with Jesus Christ, be redeemed, walked in his grace and mercy. Yes, you're right. He has sent Jesus. But the scripture is very clear. It says Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. And so it's through our words that it connects us with God. Let's look at this principle in scripture and see what it says here. John 1:1 says it like this. Let's read the first verse here and then skip to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? The Word was what? So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In case you didn't get this clear definition, it gave it to us 3 times, that God is the Word. His Son is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh, his Son Jesus, and dwelt among us. That's what he's talking about. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look what Psalms 107 says in verse 20. He sent his Word, and did what? He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So we see this principle here that God has sent the living Word, Jesus Christ, to be the bridge between us and the Father. But how do we get there? How do we cross that bridge? We find it right here. Write this down. Listen, I want you to write this scripture down because you've got to get this in your heart today, and I want you to have this as a basic Bible believer that you know this principle right here found in Romans 10:8. In verses 10, 8 through 10 and verse 13. But what does it say? The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, this is what he's talking about, our mouth here. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Everyone who calls, there's that words coming out of your mouth, making the sound out of your mouth. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want you to get this principle right here. Come on, Big Mike, give me a hand right here. Pastor Joe, come up here. Go on the stage here. You get to be God today. I know you love being God. There you go, all right? This man, he's got his swag working on today, looking good up here. All right. So let's say God the Father sends his Son, Jesus, to you and I. He sends him to you and I to redeem us to God himself. How do we get there? Because sin separates us from the Son. We just read it right there. Out of my mouth, when I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that he is Lord of my life, I confess that I need him. I confess that he is God's only Son, the risen Son, that out of my words, when I confess my words, I cross over my sin and I get connected to the Son and get therefore connected to the Father. So what I want you to get is this, that at the very beginning of our salvation, 101, our words are the very thing that we speak out of our mouth, out of our heart, and they bring us into right relationship with the Son. See, you've already been operating this principle and you didn't even know it. That when you confessed out of your mouth, and I want you to get this principle because it really combats a very much false teaching that's being pushed right now. Some of you have heard me talk about it. The teaching that says this, that because Jesus Christ has died for the sins of the world, all the world, which is very much true, that everybody's already saved, they just don't know it yet. And so now you know, according to scripture, what we just read, that is very much true. But I must believe. I must believe that he died for the sins of the world. I must believe that he was rose again from the dead. I must believe he's God's only son. And I must believe it in my heart, and out of my heart, I must confess it. And then that brings me into fellowship. That brings me into grace. It's not enough that it just happened. My words and heart got to come into agreement with it for it to take effect. Are you understanding that? So don't fall for any of that false teaching out there that's trying to push this thing that everybody's saved. They just do what they want in their life because Jesus has already paid the cross. Like I said, Satan takes a part of Scripture. He twists it around to try to get us confused. Okay, thank you very much. Give these guys a hand. Did a good job. So our words, they connect us to the Father. They connect us to God. They've already started that. You've already started that when you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. Look what Matthew 12 says. Let me read you the story. Now stay with me today, okay? This is very much foundation. You got to catch what Jesus was teaching here. In Matthew 12, verses 31, 30, 37, and so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. Look what he says, but blaspheme against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word, is that word again? Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And look what it goes on to talk about. And I want you to catch this. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Now, when the Bible talks about tree, we know this in the Bible translates to our heart. Okay? And when it talks about fruit, it's talking about our mouth. And we'll see this principle backed up in the following verses, that when we talk about the tree, he's talking about the condition of our heart. When we talk about it, the fruit, it's the condition that's coming out of our mouth. So make a tree good, a heart good, and its mouth will be good. It's fruit. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Or its heart is recognized by its mouth. Are you getting the picture here? Jesus is teaching this principle. A heart is recognized by what comes out of the mouth. And then Jesus turns to the Pharisees and says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." See, this is how we know he's talking about this principle right here. He backs it up. For what's in your mouth that's coming out is really what's in your heart. You see, we can try to sugarcoat it all we want to. Oh, I really didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. It's inside you. It comes out. And sometimes it's not very pretty, is it? I've been there, embarrassed by what came out of my mouth. I was like, man, there's still some areas of my life I really need to work on, God. Because out of my heart, the mouth is speaking. Mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings the evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be what? Forgiven, acquitted. By your words, that's why it's important, we confess. By your words you'll be acquitted, forgiven, and by your words you will be condemned. Are you starting to understand the power of the words that come out of our mouth? This is Jesus' words. He's telling us this is the impact of the words that come out of our mouth. This is a story. Jesus is there. He's healing people. He's teaching, doing these miracles. And the Pharisees are in the corner kind of whispering to each other and thinking in their heart, oh, this isn't really the Son of God. He must be dealing in witchcraft here. He must be doing this through Satan's power. And I love it because Jesus, he just turns to them and goes, hey! They're like, what? Hey, you brood of vipers in the back. Don't you love Jesus' political correctness? I love this. He says, hey, you brood of vipers in the back. I know what's in your heart. You don't think I know, but I know what's in the heart. You see, because God knows what's in the heart. I know what you're really whispering about, and I know what's in your heart. You're saying this is coming from Satan's power. And he says this to him, you better be careful because you're going to miss heaven. Because the Holy Spirit is doing this. The Holy Spirit is doing this, and you're saying it's not the Holy Spirit. You're saying it's Satan. So you better not harden your heart, or you'll miss it. Because I've come, and the Holy Spirit is here to speak to your heart. Don't harden your heart to the Holy Spirit. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't harden it. Because when you do, you're going to miss it. Well, Pastor, have I blasphemed? I don't know if I've already made the impartable sin. Have I already committed that sin? I will say, if you're here today, you haven't committed that sin, or you wouldn't be here. Because your heart's open. You know, even maybe you're not into a full relationship with God yet, your heart is open. Something is pulling you. You haven't hardened your heart yet. As long as you're breathing, you still have a chance for your heart to be softened to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to give your life to God. This is what he's talking about right here. He speaks to him, says, I know what's in your heart. Do not harden your heart to God. Don't speak of the evil things. Let something change in your heart so you can speak a good thing. He deals with their heart right away. See, Satan does this. Satan takes scripture and tries to convince you to give up. Oh, I've already messed up. I can't be forgiven. Pastor Gene just read that scripture, and I blasphemed against the Holy Spirit before. And I say, no, you're not. You're okay. You can repent right now. But Satan will try to convince you that you're unsavable, which is what he does. Let me tell you this. Satan tells every believer they're not saved. You're not really saved. Remember last week we talked about Jesus' temptation? Are you really the Son of God? If you're really the Son of God. No, he tells every believer, you're not really saved. And then he tells every non-believer that they don't need to be saved. You're already okay. Jesus has already forgiven your sins. You don't need to confess it. You don't need to change your life. See, Satan is the master liar and manipulator. And so my words will connect me to God. What's in my heart comes out of my mouth. They connect me to God. Let me get you the second part of this. My words connect us to each other. Words connect us to each other. Let's continue to read in our first text here in Proverbs 18. We read the first part of this. From the fruit of our mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips are satisfied. A tongue has the power of what? Life and death. Those who love it eat of its fruit. Now look at this last verse here. Immediately following this, he says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Yes, hallelujah. He who finds a wife, what is good, and receives favor from the Lord. Now, why would the scripture be linked into right there about the power of our words? I used to think it's because women spoke so many words that God was just trying to give them a revelation about the power of the words. That's really what I thought. But the more I begin to pray about it and think that my opinion is this, you can take it or leave it. My opinion is this, that, of course, I believe that all scripture is exactly in line where God wants it to be. The Holy Spirit has placed it exactly where it needs to be. And there was something that he was trying to say to us is this, is that that relationship with the Father is the same way our relationship can be with our spouse, that it comes through the power of our words. It comes through the power of our words. See, we can connect with God through our words. We can connect with our spouse. We can connect with people with our words. What causes us to feel disconnected with our spouse? What causes us to feel disconnected with people or friends? What causes you to say, I feel disconnected from them? No communication, correct? When no words are being spoken, when no communication is happening, you feel very much disconnected from that person, whether it be your spouse, whether it be a good friend. The longer you spend no communication, the longer that you have, you say, you know what? We're drifting further apart. So I want you to hear this today. I need you to stop, okay? Stop speaking death into your marriage. Stop speaking death into your finances. Stop speaking death into your job. Stop speaking death over your children. Stop speaking death over your family. Stop speaking death over your health. And say this, I'm going to be a life speaker. I'm going to learn to speak life. I'm going to say, I no longer will I agree with death words, but I'm going to say, I'm going to come into agreement with God's word and learn to speak life. It changes your atmosphere. It changes your attitude. It changes what God wants to do in your life. Our words either agree with life or they agree with death. Our words either agree with God's plan for my life or my words agree with Satan's plan for my life. Which one are you allowing yourself to come in agreement with? Let's look at Ephesians 5:25. Look what it says here. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He's telling us how to use the example of how we're supposed to love, how we're supposed to communicate. Because he says right here, He might sanctify. See how Jesus does to the church. He sanctifies and cleanses her with the washing of water by the word. Let me ask you this, okay? Are you ready for this? You might want to pull your feet up because I'm about to already get stomped on a little bit here. Okay, you ready? Okay. Do your words to your spouse cleanse them or blast them? Do the words to your children cleanse them or blast them? Do the words to those closely, do you cleanse people with your words or do you sandblast them with your words? Because our words have that kind of power. Whoever said, I said this last week, whoever said that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt, they lied. Because words do hurt. Words have the power to impact and hurt. And so what is coming out of your mouth? It says Jesus' words brought cleansing. You have the power to cleanse or you have the power to blast. You have the power to speak healing, emotional healing, or you have the power to speak separation. What are you speaking? Are you bringing healing? Are you speaking words that wash? Are you just blasting people? Pastor, you don't know my husband. If I wait to speak positive words over him, I'll be waiting for years. I just tell you this, when your husband gets up tomorrow, and he takes out a matching pair of socks and puts them on. Cheer him on. You did it, honey. They matched today. Yay! You got the matching pair. We're so proud of you. Kids, come here. Look, Dad's got on matching socks today. Way to go, Dad. Ooh, ooh. Find something to praise him about. Find something to praise your spouse about. Find something to praise your children about. Find something to praise people around you about. Let your words be cleansing. Let your words release life. Let your words release God's will in your family, in your marriage, in your children. Speak it out. I will tell you this very, very true, that I wouldn't be here today if my wife hadn't spoke words over me long before I was ready. She spoke words of affirmation. She spoke words before I ever was a pastor, before I ever thought I could do it. She spoke words of confidence over me. She spoke words of praise over me, even when I wasn't that good. She really spoke over me early on when I had no confidence. She spoke over me. She shaped me with her words. And I can tell you, I would not be here today if my wife had not spoke out over me in my ministry. What are you speaking out over? See, I love it. I got to speak out of my, I'm not always perfect. My kids will be the first one to tell you I'm not perfect, okay? But one of the things that I really love doing is I love speaking out over my children. I love having times when I can say, man, I'm proud of you, son. What's going on? I'm proud of you for working hard. Man, you're a hard worker. Man, I love that you're saving your money. You're buying the things you want. You're not coming asking me to buy you everything. But you're learning to buy your own clothes. You're learning to pay for your own insurance. You're learning to pay for your school. Right, honey? You're learning. You're learning the power of what's working. She's working hard, and she's getting her cars paid off, and she's learning to get to the school and what it takes. I'm proud. Those things are hard sometimes. But I speak affirmation. My son Landon's, he's not in here today. He's working in the kids' department today. I love having moments like this weekend where he has a great game on the field and I can go to him and he's all excited. Oh, what you think about my interception, Dad? What you think about this? I'm behind. I'm like, I love it, son. I'm proud of you. But you know what makes me more proud? The fact that you love Jesus with all your heart. I'm more proud about that than anything. And he knows how competitive I am. Some of you may not know that today. I'm a little bit, tad bit competitive, okay? Maybe a little bit. Okay, all right. Some of you are smiling. You've seen me coach before. Okay. I'm learning. Okay, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Right, Ryan? I'm getting better. I'm a lot better than I used to be. Okay. I'm learning to calm down and have fun. And, you know, it's all about the kids. I really do. It's all about that. I'm learning that. Okay. It's taking me a while. 5 kids later, and I'm about got it down. But I realize this, that there's power in our words, and there's so much power. My kids know that. So when I take and say, you know what, I'm proud of you for that, but I'm more proud of you because, man, you come up and lift your hands and worship, and you love being at church, and you have a heart for God. That makes me so proud that you're I just see something spiritually lifting in their spirit. I see something in their heart, and I see a priority going off. And now I know my kids have a priority. They want to please the Lord. They're not perfect, but they want to please the Lord. Why? Because Dad has spoken over them the importance. These things are all important, but the most important thing, sons, I see what God's doing in your life. Most important thing, daughters, I see what God's doing in your life, the changes that are happening. You don't know the power of your words that you have. You're shaping your children with your words. I don't have everything to give my kids, Pastor. I'm having to work and do this, and we're not making it. It's hard. Money don't mean jack. Your words is what's going to shape them. Shape them with words from the Lord. Speak over them. Speak over them. Speak over them. Tell them you are smart. You are important. Tell them. Shape them with your words. Shape them with your words. Learn to speak over your situation. I'm going to be a live speaker. So the question is, do you speak life or do you speak death? How do my words connect me to God or reconnect me to God? Simply by this. My words connect me to God by saying, God, forgive me. I was wrong. I need a relationship with you. How do my words connect me to people? When I've had a distance between me and them, by saying, you know what? Forgive me. I was wrong. The same words that connect me to the Father will reconnect me to people who I've been separated from. Well, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. I'm just saying, you go up and ask for forgiveness and see if God doesn't change the atmosphere. See if those words of you asking for forgiveness will not repair the relationship. It does. You ever been mad at somebody and you just wanted to be mad at them? And they come up and ask you to forgive them. You're like, oh, that makes me mad at you. Ask me to forgive you. I wanted to be mad at you, but now I can't be mad at you. Come here. And pretty soon you're laughing and crying. I didn't really mean it. I'm sorry. It's something that happens when you release those words of forgiveness. See, our words have power. They can restore. Bring up that next slide. Look at this. Words can either destroy our relationships or our words can restore them. Words can either destroy relationships or they can restore relationships. Which one do you want to be? Are your words going to destroy your relationships or are your words going to be words that restore your relationships? As our magicians come today, I'm going to tell you that early on in our marriage, my wife and I, we had just gotten married. And before we had kids, I can kind of remember that time. That seems like a long time ago. Any parents here understand? Remember the time when you was honeymooning it up and you didn't have any kids? And, I remember those days, honey. And we had these, like, other young married couples we hung out with. And we felt so important because we were, like, in the young marriage club. We're married now. We're in the young marriage club. You know, kind of separate yourself and you start getting more mature friends who are married, you think, you know. And so we're hanging out with them, and something happened in that time that we were there. We were just starting out in young in ministry and our marriage. Some great people, great friends, some of them very close friends. But every time we were around them, it was just like we left there, we felt so negative. You ever felt that way? I mean, the words that were coming out of the conversation were so negative. Always attacking people, always pointing out the bad in people. Always talking about someone in leadership, or always talking about this pastor, or always talking about this boss. I guess that's just my circle. You guys have never been in that circle before, right? Okay. That's the circle we were in. And we'd leave there, and we would be like, man, we just feel so heavy, so unclean. You know what I mean? And I remember one time we looked at each other and said, we're going to have to change some things, honey. And we begin to prune out some relationships in our life, and we begin to say, you know, even though these people are close to us, and even though they're some good friends of ours, we love them, we can't hang out with them all the time anymore. We gotta pull ourselves and begin to distance ourselves from that, begin that nucleus of friends. I will tell you this, that when we begin to do that, our ministry begin to take off. Our ministry begin to grow. God used that for a launching point in our lives. Because no longer we said, God, we want to be around people who speak negative. We don't want to be around people who are always talking and speaking death over situations. And over problems, but we want to be around people who are speaking life. Even when things are wrong, I want to be around people who see the glass half full, not half empty. I want to be around those kind of people. I love being around people who are positive, and people who are kingdom-minded and speak the word of the Lord, even when things don't look the best. I love being around. So we begin to slowly pull away from them, and we begin to connect with people who had that same kind of attitude. Changed our marriage, changed our life, changed our ministry. And I say to you today that it's so worth it. But some of you here, you're going to have to begin to do that, because what's coming out of your heart is because you're always getting it put in your ear. Negative, negative, negative. Talking bad about this person. Talking bad about that person. Talking bad about the boss. Talking bad about your job. Talking bad about the church you used to be at. Talking bad about this. All these things that used to happen. These things come and come and come and come. And pretty soon, it overtakes you. And when it comes, even though you don't mean to, it starts coming out of your mouth. And you're catching that same spirit. And so you're going to have to cut some things off and say, God, I want to learn to be a live speaker. I want to learn to be a live speaker over my family, over my children, over my life, over my finances, my job. I'm going to learn to speak life over it, even when it smells like death. Even when it doesn't look good, I'm going to learn to be a live speaker. And God, it's a new beginning in my life. I'm going to speak life. I'm not going to dwell in the past, but I'm going to speak life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I just want to ask you this question and say, Pastor Gene, today you're here. And Pastor Gene, today I just need to ask Jesus Christ with my words. I believed it, but I haven't done it with my words yet. Today, I want my words to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins, to be Lord of my life. I will not embarrass you one bit today at all. I'm not going to point you out at all to nobody. Nobody's looking but me, but I want to give you a chance to respond. If that's you today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor, today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today want to join us? If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Say, today's my day, Pastor. Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. I see that hand. Thanks, guys. We're going to say this prayer today. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, but especially those who raise your hands today, say this out loud with us today. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my heart today. I give you all of my life. I believe you are God's only Son. I believe you are the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand. Congratulations. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, before you leave today, please stop by our information booth here in the back. We got a free Bible and some other information that tells you what you need to do next on your new journey. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's the start of a new journey. So stop by and get that information today as our free gift to you. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close out with this song. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to learn to surrender all of my words. I want to learn to surrender all of my words to God. I want to say, God, I want to learn to surrender and be a live speaker. I'm going to invite you to join me in the front as we close out with this song. We're going to sing it together today. Somebody's going to sing this words and say, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Join us around the front as we surrender to what God's word says over us, that we will be live speakers. Come on, Justin.
I surrender.
One more time, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are causing us today, Lord, to see through Scripture the power of life and death that come out of our words. Lord, I pray right now, in the first sermon of this series, that God, you begin to change a culture shift in our heart, a culture shift in our mouth, that Father, we will learn to be life speakers. God, we see the power of the word, the value of our words. And Father, we're going to learn to speak life over our children. We're going to speak life over our situations. We're going to speak life in every situation that we face, every difficulty. We're going to speak life over our enemies. We'll speak life of those who have done us wrong. We'll speak life. And Father, we're going to allow your word to come true in our life. We're going to allow this word to sink in. We're going to surrender every thought, every word. Out of our heart will come words of life. Out of our heart will come words of life. Out of our heart will come words of life. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Now put your hands together. I love you, Lord. I turn to your neighbor and give him a big, big high five, a big hug, and say, man, I am glad you were here today. God bless you so much for being here. You guys have a great week. Don't forget to sign up for Kids Fest.